Hey guys, this is Vinny. Welcome to the Access Baseball Podcast. Wanted to just do a shortened version today, just with myself. I wanted to talk about some of the top pitchers on Long Island, the 2021 class at least, break down the top tier guys, some of the second tier, and then preview a little bit of the 2022 crop. That obviously is a fluid situation. I don't have haven't seen every single one of the pitchers in person, but there's enough information to form some educated opinion about the kids. So first of the 2021 class, I mean, these are all kids that I've seen in person at this point, if not multiple times, at least once. And a lot of them you guys are familiar with, as we've written about it, posted videos on Instagram, Twitter, you name it. So, I mean, the obvious one, the number one, I think, in everybody's estimation is Rafe Schlesinger. From a scouting standpoint, I think it's pretty clear you're going to favor the power-throwing lefty. It's really one of the most sought-after commodities in the game is the power-throwing left-handed pitchers. You know, a short, close second to that is probably the power-hitting catcher, which, you know, you could count them on one hand how many true two-way catchers there are in the game. But Rafe, to me, he's the number one in my estimation, just based off of his body of work and his potential. And what's most impressive to me is that he's improved each year. You know, when I first saw him when he was in middle school, you can see that he had potential, but he was a little bit of a project at that point. You know, there was a lot to like about him for sure. I mean, for one, you can see that he was going to grow because his father's big. You know, the ball came out of his hand clean. He had movement. He had a nice delivery, but it was unique. So it was not the cookie cutter delivery that you're used to seeing. And it's not the high 3/4 arm slot that most kids employ nowadays. It's a low 3/4 bordering on sidearm almost. And, you know, in talking with Neil Heaton at that time, he was very high on him, obviously. And he said that he's going to be a good one. So that was in, you know, 2017, and he was in middle school at that time. So then I would check in on him, see him periodically at Neil's, and you just saw each time he'd get better and better. The velocity was up. So then in 2019, when he's in 10th grade, I remember watching him, and I was like, all right, this is getting real now. It's no longer he's got the potential. He was a borderline varsity pitcher at that point. You know, being in League One, they're a little hesitant to call up the younger guys unless they're exceptional. And I remember talking with Coach Schnupp at the time, who basically, he knew about him, but I don't think he had seen him against hitters yet at that point. Or maybe if he did, just not enough of him. So he said, yeah, he's going to have a shot to play varsity. Fast forward a couple weeks after that, he's the opening day starter for Sachem East. And some of that could be attributed to the fact that they didn't want to use Roman DeRoche on the first game of the series. But still, the fact that he was a 10th grader and he was in a position that they felt comfortable enough using him on opening day against William Floyd, who was very good that year, I think it kind of spoke volumes on what the outlook for him was. And, you know, that opening day, I remember being there. He was not dominant by any stretch, but he showed glimpses. He had a lot of strikeouts. William Floyd was an older team, a lot of seniors on that team, guys like Tommy Verga and guys that went on to play college ball. And, you know, they squared him up. So it wasn't, you didn't come away from it saying, all right, this is a pro pitcher right now. But he brought a lot to the table and it was exciting. And as the season went on, Rafe really came into his own. He started, he got a couple wins. He had a couple double-digit strikeout games. And then, you know, in the postseason, he gets a playoff start for Sachem East, and you know, he was dynamic in that game. So I think that kind of changed the opinion of some people. They at that point, you know, he wasn't just this lanky lefty with some upside that Neil Heaton was talking about. Now he was a Division I college pitcher in my mind. And sure enough, a couple weeks later, a couple months later, maybe I think around July of that year, after his sophomore year, he commits to Miami. And then now all of a sudden the target's on your back. When you're committed to Miami, you know, like it or not, there's going to be jealousy involved. There's going to be some people try to knock you down. So you gotta compete and you got to be successful at that point. We've seen kids in previous years that have had that target on their back that have not performed well. So really, you have to up the ante at that point. And to his credit, he did. He got invited to the area code games, you know, get invited to private workouts for teams. And at that point, he was, you know, going into his junior year last year before the season got canceled. He was touching 90, and that's enough to turn heads. So what happens after the season gets canceled? Continues to work hard, starts a weighted ball program, and then sees another increase in velocity. So now he's not really, in my opinion, a borderline pro prospect as much as he is a potential first-round prospect. So we'll see what happens. He's going to have to perform once again with the target on his back, League One, where now, as they're calling it, Conference One this year. He's going to face some really good teams, but do I think that anyone's capable of hitting that velocity? No, probably not. We saw that in 2009 with Steven Matz, where, you know, you have a lefty, doesn't really matter who you're facing at that point when you throw that hard and you're that good of a pitcher. You know, he's going to throw a lot of one and two hit complete game shutouts this year. And yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of eyes on him. So I think his upside is of a first round draft pick. And I think that if he does go to college, you're going to see the type of career that that would make him a first round draft pick in 3 years. So we'll see what happens. But for my money, I think he is the consensus top pitcher right now, top draft candidate on Long Island. So that's Rafe. After that, it's definitely, you know, it's to each your own at that point. We have a few righties. There's on my list back in the fall, I posted Dylan Johnson as my number two. And I think that's more from a pro standpoint, because I really like the strides that Dylan has made from a physical standpoint. I think that when he first got to varsity, you can see that he needed to fill out. And at that point, it's not a guarantee that that's going to happen. It's much more easier said than done to tell a kid, hey, dedicate yourself to the weight room, or, you know, watch your eating and live in the gym for the next couple years. Like, not a lot of kids have that intestinal fortitude to do that. You know, it really requires having your blinders on and the vision of grandeur. And ultimately, somebody really needs to have your best interests in mind. So I know that Dylan religiously goes to Belding Performance, and he gets pitching lessons from Bobby DeMichael. And you have to be impressed with what he's done. He took his body from 160 pounds or 165 pounds as a sophomore, and I saw him the other day. He's 205. He's got the same fluid arm action. You know, this summer, watched him a couple times. He was sitting in the low 90s. He's got great command of his fastball. His slider from that arm action is devastating on righties. I mean, really lefties and righties, but righties especially. And that arm action really is conducive to that two-seam and slider. So I'll be interested to see if he develops a third pitch, how that fares. You know, you're going to want to see him throw a changeup. But that's not easy, because when you throw that hard, you're going to get a lot of strikeouts. So who's going to force him to throw changeups? We'll see if that's on the catcher, if that's on the head coach, or if that's on him to mix that in on his own. But it's easier said than done, because when you're getting a lot of strikeouts, you don't really feel the need to be messing around with a third pitch when you're getting, you know, 15 strikeouts in some cases a game. So Dylan's committed to St. John's. His brother, obviously, Kyle, is at Stony Brook right now. Dylan is definitely a pro prospect in my mind. Is exciting kid to watch, competitor. You see, if you go back on the Access archives, back in April of 2019, when he started against Smithtown East, I think that was the moment where a lot of people knew he was for real, when he struck out 12 or 13 batters against Smithtown East, went up against Justin Harvey of Smithtown East, and he even had a walk-off hit in the game. So it was almost like, what can't this kid do? And that was on a Newfield team, if you remember, that lost Chandler Giovinco before the season, and basically had a skeleton squad out there. And it was early in the year before they turned the corner. So Dylan really showed his mettle that day. And he also is very tough to hit in big spots. I think he's one of those pitchers that kind of has that ability to bear down in big moments, and that's definitely a rare thing, because sometimes pitchers tend to get tight in those spots, and you know, you'll start to see them spike some balls or leave pitches up or breaking balls over the middle of the plate, and I don't think that Dylan does much. I'm pretty sure this summer he told me that he won all of his games and had under a 1 ERA, so that's going to get it done. So for my money, I think Dylan is the number two pro prospect in the 2021 class. After that, I'll go at number three. I'll go with Ventimiglia, Tommy Ventimiglia from Longwood. He is a Stony Brook commit. And first off, I got to give Stony Brook credit where credit's due, because at that time when Tommy committed, which was right after his sophomore year, he did not have the velocity of a Division I pitcher. He was mainly low 80s at that point. He was probably 82, 83. Now, granted, he had phenomenal pitchability. He had command, tenacity, anything positive that you can say about a pitcher, but he did not have the velocity at that point. So I was a little bit surprised that that when he committed there, just because it didn't seem like he was at that level. But to their credit, they identified him as somebody that would jump in velocity quick, because that's exactly what happened. I mean, I don't know exactly the time frame, but basically, over the next year, he just continued to grow, get stronger, and it translated into velocity, because now, you know, last night he threw a bullpen and I got a report that he was 90 to 93, and that's in February. I'm sorry, the first week of March, same thing. So, you know, you're talking about somebody that committed himself the same way that Dylan Johnson did. Very competitive kid. He's going to be the number one pitcher at Longwood this year, and I would be shocked if he lost the game. I mean, maybe against one of the other kids on the list, but he's not going to have many bad games this year. He has fastball command. He moves the ball around. He has great command of his curveball and of his changeup. And as we saw in that 2019 playoffs, he went from being in the rotation to being the number one pitcher to being the stopper and capable of coming in for a couple outs on short rest. Now, I'm sure that Stony Brook probably doesn't want to see that at this point. You definitely don't want to know that your future number one pitcher is pitching twice in a week. But at that point, you know, he was in 10th grade and he expressed interest and his arm was healthy and he was able to do it. And again, we're not talking about him anything crazy. He came in for an inning on a Friday or whatever, on a weekend after starting earlier in the week. So worse things have happened, but typically you're going to want to be prudent with your young studs. So this year I expect him to go out and utterly dominate. I mean, he went 4-0 with a 0.28 ERA as a sophomore. Last year was canceled, so this year, you know, look for him to be, he's going to be our preseason pitcher of the year most likely, and that's going to be coming out in a couple weeks. So from my perspective, Venti is the kind of kid that you want on the mound in a big game, and we saw that in the Sal Agostinelli championship game. I mean, he struck out 18 batters in a championship game in 7 innings. So he is as good as gets. A couple other kids I'm going to go with, Jacob Steinmetz. Right now, Jacob, I just spoke to his father. He told me he's going to be going down to Elevate Academy in Boca Raton, which is a great decision. First of all, I don't know much about Elevate Academy, except it's in Florida and he's going to be facing good competition and it's going to be nice weather. And that's three things that already you have over Long Island, especially at the Hafter School, which he is enrolled in on Long Island. You're not going to face good competition, and basically you're going to be weighting a kid like that on a scale. You're going to be grading him on a scale, rather, where if he goes 7-0 with 100 strikeouts this year, you're going to say, well, that's what he's supposed to do. Whereas if he goes down south and he shows, you know, half of that ability, people are going to take that with legitimacy. It's going to be, you're going to look at it and say, well, this isn't a JV lineup that you're facing. So he does a lot of things that jump off the page. You know, I've seen him throw a couple of bullpen sessions. 95.4 miles an hour the other day. You're not going to find too many high school seniors that are throwing 95 miles an hour. And he has no mileage on his arm. And he has a tremendous breaking ball. I've seen on the Rapsodo, he's about 2,700, 2,800 with his curveball. It is a true weapon. And I think that alone is enough to warrant a team drafting him, because you're always going to want to take high upside guys. You know, depending who you talk to, there's kind of that two schools of thought. Some people want to see the track record and what they've done, and others are going to want to know what can they do moving forward. And I like a mix of that. I think on this list we have a mix. You take a kid like, you know, Venti, who's done it, and then you take somebody like Jacob, who I think his best days are ahead of him. And especially with how analytically driven professional baseball is, when you look at a kid that's 6'5" and has barely thrown and has no taxation on his arm, you're projecting him and saying this is somebody that can have a very nice pro career. And you're going to get a lot of swings and misses, a lot of swings and misses with that breaking ball. So whether or not he gets drafted this year or he goes to Fordham, I think you're looking at somebody that will be in professional baseball someday. And he's a very smart kid, good family. So there's no concerns there. After him, you got JT Rabb, right-handed pitcher from MacArthur High School. He's kind of a man of mystery, because whenever I've gone to go to games to watch him pitch, he wasn't on the mound. I did get a chance to watch him this fall, and, you know, it's just easy cheddar. 88, 89. I think he's got more in the tank at 6'5". He's got that durable body. He had under a 1 ERA for the Titans this summer. He's going to be the ace of MacArthur this year. He would have been the ace of MacArthur last year as well. So he's a kid. He's an X factor. You know, he doesn't have a long track record. But again, you have to look at the body. You have to look at the reports that you've seen, what people say. He's a very mentally tough kid. I don't think there's any concerns with him getting in a big spot and losing his head. I think he's got great command. And he's pretty intimidating on the mound. You know, he kind of looks like a younger Noah Syndergaard. So just kind of your recency bias as a talent evaluator, you're going to say, all right, that bodes pretty well if there's a kid that reminds you of a major league pitcher. So I'm very high on him. I think that he's going to go to Stony Brook probably. And I think he's going to be probably like an eighth inning guy right off the bat. I think he's can step in and give them high leverage outs. And then I think that as a sophomore, he's a kid that can step into the rotation, be, you know, a number three or a number two. And then maybe by the time he's a junior or even at the end of his sophomore year, he could be pushing for Friday night innings. And I think that's really his upside, is being like that anchor of the staff, workhorse kind of guy that you count on. And then so that's five. We went Schlesinger, Johnson, Ventimiglia, Steinmetz, Rob, and then a couple of the X-Factor / second tier guys. I really like Brendan Williams out of West Hempstead. Again, talent's going to be the competition that he faces is going to be a question. I don't think he's going to give up too many runs this year. I say that laughingly, because you can maybe count on one hand how many runs he's going to give up this year. The kid throws high 80s. He's got a wipeout slider. He's very tough to hit. And if he could shut out the Titans, he could probably shut out any team that he's going to face this spring. So when you look at Brendan, 6'5" lefties just don't grow on trees. That's the bottom line. So there's going to be some scouts that alone say, yeah, this is somebody that we want to take a shot on. As far as I know, he's still uncommitted. I know I've gotten a lot of inquiries about that, and I don't know where he stands with that. I know that grades were an issue, so we'll see. But he definitely has the potential to be a professional pitcher. And then a couple other kids, you know, Craig Pilcar from Comac. He's 6'6" righty, committed to UConn. So I'm at the Town of Brookhaven varsity tournament last year, and he was lights out, six shutout innings. Really liked what I saw from him. So he'll probably be anchoring the Komak rotation this year. I think he winds up going to UConn. We'll see what his velocity's at. I know he was in the mid-80s last summer. Definitely has the body to jump up like these other guys, maybe low 90s if he gets into that realm, you know, where maybe we're having another conversation in July. let's see. Tyler O'Neill, he's another kid, high 80s. He's committed to the University of Chicago. He's committed to Bucknell. Goes to Methuen. And two different people that don't coach him told me that he's one of the best pitchers on Long Island. So I take that seriously because those are people that don't have a dog in the fight, just coached against him. And very impressive. I think he beat Wontaw in the playoffs in 2019 to finally end their championship run. So he's somebody that I expect him to be a first-team Long Island type of pitcher and get some attention for the draft as well. Let's see who else. Somebody that down the road I think could be – that can be a pro-caliber pitcher if he continues to progress is Jordan Falco from Cinema Riches. About 6'4", 6'5", very athletic, plays basketball. Committed to Adelphi. Last summer, you know, I had watched him throw and I gave him the pitch logic ball and he was, you know, in the low 80s. That was after the shutdown. Obviously, he's increased velocity since that time. I'm not sure what he's at recently, but he's somebody that I think can have a big increase because he's so thin and he's so athletic. You know, when you think about somebody like Jacob deGrom, how he was a late bloomer, I kind of think that that is the type of that's the type of jump that he can make, you know, a 10-plus mile-an-hour jump in the next couple of years. And then a couple other kids that I like, you know, Liam Carroll, he's a lefty from Massapequa, not a particularly overpowering pitcher, low to mid-80s, but he's committed to New Haven. I like him. Colin Ryan, Stony Brook commit from North Babylon. We've written a lot about him. Definitely excited to watch him. Made the big jump from Lindenhurst now at North Babylon, and I think he's going to be a workhorse for them. Donald Lent is a upper 80s hard-throwing lefty from Deer Park. I'll be interested to see the numbers that he puts up. I think he'll get a lot of strikeouts, win a lot of games for Deer Park. And Hayden Lederman, small school, Roslyn, but he plays for the Ducks. Did very well in our tournament last year, upper 80s, a lot of strikeouts. He is committed to the University of Chicago, and I think he's going to be a first-team Long Island type of player this year. And then as far as the 2022s, you know, I mean, I think the big one, the big ones, plural, is Dylan Banner from Plainview JFK, Kyle Chase from St. John the Baptist, and Joe Areola from Chaminade. Ironically, they all pitch on the same pitching staff and body armor. I mean, it doesn't get too much more better than them. Areola is the lone lefty of that group, throws upper 80s, touch 89, just a low-key demeanor, one heartbeat per minute type of guy. Kyle Chase, we saw what he could do in the playoffs. He went toe-to-toe with Logan Koester in 2019 at St. Joseph's. I mean, he had the no-hitter through four innings against the eventual Catholic League champs. So I think Kyle is going to be one of the preeminent players on Long Island this year and especially next year. And then Dylan Banner, I don't even know if he's more of a pitcher or a position player. I know he has lightning in his bat and he's a true power hitter. I posted video of him this summer hitting a home run at Baseball Heaven into the trees, just an absolute missile. And then on the mound, you know, he threw the shutout in the Blue Chip Prospects tournament in the first week of September. And so we know that he can do it. He could do it on the mound as well as at the plate. And also Sean Hamilton. He is Stony Brook commit from Rocky Point. Fastball command was not there when I watched him this summer against body armor. But if he hones that in and he could, you know, establish his fastball, I think he gets into that category as well because he's so thin and the arm looks just works. And it's just clean. He just needs to throw strikes because he's already up there in the upper 80s. And his time is on his side as well. He's young and he's thin. He's baseball young. So he's got some time to iron out his kinks and just to focus on throwing strikes and developing his breaking ball stuff, and I think he's got a bright future as well. So that's pretty much all that I have. I think I took up enough of your time. I just wanted to get this out before the season started. So thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Access Baseball Podcast.